Today is Father's Day. It's a time to celebrate Dad. But there is a deficit in today's society where men don't necessarily know how to be dads. They don't necessarily know how to be fathers. They don't necessarily know how to be a leader. And leaders need courage and they need strength. So I guess, really, we need to look at some definitions to start. So courage is defined in the Canadian Oxford Dictionary as the ability to disregard fear. Bravery. Another description of courage is this. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. So to really understand courage, we also need to understand what fear is. Fear is defined in the Canadian Oxford Dictionary as this: an unpleasant emotion caused by exposure to danger or an expectation of pain and anxiety for the safety of. So again, today is Father's Day, a day to celebrate Dad and all that he does and has done for us. To thank him for always being there, standing up for us, teaching us right from wrong, providing for us food, clothing, shelter, and for disciplining us when called for, although we typically don't thank for discipline, but you know, for showing us the way to being respectful to our elders and authority, for showing us how to love. As I was inspired to write this message, I came to the realization that this was not the case for me with my father. We mostly argued and fought, yelling, screaming, carrying on, you know. He rarely had time to stand up for me, to lovingly show me what respect for women is, looks like. He didn't lead. He provided food, he provided clothing, a roof over my head, but when it came to the emotional stuff, the stuff that would prepare me for life, for prepare me for fatherhood and to be a man, it wasn't there. He left me with no knowledge of how to be a loving father or husband. I got into trouble at pretty much every turn. I rebelled. I turned to alcohol, drugs, and pornography, just to name a few, which caused great harm in my life. Now, as a father and a husband myself, I'm learning to stand up for and love my wife and my daughter. This is not to say that I don't fall down at times, because I do. The deficit I have in this knowledge is staggering. I lack the words to describe the helpless feeling at times and the frustration and anxiety that it causes. So, having said that, I have found hope in God's word. So let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. So it says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses has given you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So let's break this passage down a little bit. We need to understand a little bit about Joshua's life. So Joshua grew up in the time of slavery in Egypt. He witnessed more than any young person should ever have to witness. As far as we know, he had no father. He was front and center for the miracles of the Israelites' escape under the leadership of Moses out of Egypt. Joshua witnessed the power of God in Moses. He was able to see what faith and trust in God looked like. He was shown by Moses' example what love for family looked like. Moses was like a father to Joshua. Moses, by example, was able to show Joshua how to be a godly man, even through mistakes and hard times. After Moses' death, Joshua was chosen by God to finish what he had started with Moses, to lead the people of God, the Israelites, to the promised land in Canaan. God then commands Joshua to be courageous and strong, not to be afraid, knowing that the Lord, his God, was with him. For me, this is bittersweet to comprehend. I am able to see what is missing in my life as a father. But sweet, as I try to understand the uncomprehendable love God has for me and what he has called me to do. He has called me to be courageous and strong for my wife and daughter, to lead them according to his commands, never wavering to the left or to the right, to love them as he loves me, to lead them to the promised land, so to speak. Now to our situation here today, where we have the redefinition of family, the legalization of same-sex relationships, the transgendered movement, and what does this mean for fathers and families who believe in Christ? For me, this means that I need to rely even more on God and his word and what he says family and marriage are. I need to pray with intention for knowledge of how to talk to my daughter about these things when the time comes. I'll need to pray for courage and strength to lead by God's truth. What will that mean for fathers in here today? I stand here transformed to be more Christ-like, as most of you do. He has placed a great responsibility on my lap, on all fathers' laps. God has made me not just a husband and a father, but also, more importantly, a follower of his son, Jesus Christ. I have learned that when I stand for my family, I stand for Christ. And when I stand for Christ, I stand for my family. I am learning that this takes courage, it takes strength, it will take perseverance, but most importantly, it will take great faith and trust in God, knowing that he is with me every step of the way. Just as it meant the same for Joshua to be strong and courageous, leaning entirely and faithfully on God's commandments, on his law, not wavering to the right or to the left, knowing that God was with him every step of the way. I think that we can find another illustration of this in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus here commissions all Christians to do something very courageous. However, I think that most importantly, as fathers, this should stand out. I feel that in order to make disciples of nations, a massive undertaking, that job should start with the family, in the home. I see this not just as a here and now tell everyone about Jesus, which we are supposed to do, but more importantly, of a generational importance. I want my children to carry on the godly legacy that I, with God's help, will leave them. They will love their spouse. They will cherish their children. They will love the Lord. They will carry on the work of making disciples of nations, obeying God's word, not wavering to the left or to the right. How about you dads out there today? What do you think? What do you want for your children? What kind of marriage do you want them to have? Do you want your children to have faith and trust in times of great struggle? We as fathers have the extremely important job of discipling our families as the spiritual leaders in our homes. We have the responsibility of showing our sons and daughters, even our wives, that God is our first love. That He is whom we run to in times of struggle, and likewise in times of victory and joy. We must lead by His commands. They must see us obeying Him and seeking His will for our lives. I believe this is true. Again, Jesus showed us what love is. He showed us how to teach each other in that love. He showed us what grace looks like. He showed us what forgiveness looks like. He showed us what faith and trust in the Father looks like. Even when He was on the cross, dying for us, He showed us all of this. He has given all fathers the tools to be godly leaders. He commands us to be courageous and strong in our pursuit of this, not to waver to the right or to the left, but to stand firm and to persevere in love. Another truth for fathers today is that some of us, not all, have caved to the enemy. We have become complacent, even apathetic. We have placed physical needs above our families. For example, cell phones at your daughter's concert, video games over playing kickball with your son, going fishing over a date night with your wife. We've wasted precious time. In doing this, we make ourselves hypocrites. We embitter our children. We leave our wives feeling unloved and lonely. We have left an example of what adultery looks like. We have become absentee fathers, even though we are at home. We push away all that we have been commanded to do, and we have wavered. In essence, we've pushed away God. Again, we've wavered. We've said no to God and yes to Satan. But now, with all glory to God, He calls us back to Him. He is quick to forgive, should we ask. He sets us back on track. You see, husbands and fathers, we are the stewards of God's greatest creation, the family. The very foundation of society from the time of Adam and Eve has been based on family. I encourage you today to look deep, deep inside, in the most inner parts of your being. Look into the face of Jesus in that place and ask him to show you who you are. Ask him to make you a godly, holy father and husband. There's one more piece of scripture here. Actually, there's a couple. But for contemplation, to pray on in earnest and with intention. In Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." What is God's will for you as a husband and as a father? Paul is echoing this in Matthew 17, chapter 17, verses 2 to 8. A call to be transformed in the image of Christ, to no longer be committed to the ways of this world, to no longer be a slave to the enemy, but to be transformed from the heart out, molded in the love of Christ. That in that image, we are no longer afraid to stand. We fathers and husbands are now strong and courageous in our faith and trust in Christ and his Spirit as our source of life, wisdom, and knowledge. He is our example of how to lead our families. He showed us what selfless service and love looks like when he went to the cross for us. In this, Paul also echoes God's promised presence for the disciples. You see, at just the right time before Christ ascended into heaven, he commissioned them, the disciples, to go out into the world. The issue here was that the disciples were crushed because Jesus was leaving. So their physical Jesus was leaving. They were not focused on the fact that he said, "I will be with you always." He said what? He said this in Matthew 17, verse 7. "This after the disciples saw Elijah and Moses, and they fell onto the ground face down. Jesus said this, 'Get up. Do not be afraid.'" Jesus tells them not to be afraid. Now take that and add it to it from Matthew 28, 20. "With strength, courage, without fear, and out of love, knowing that he is with us always to the very last days. He will never leave us." So will you fathers and husbands today say to God, as in Joshua 24, 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Will you choose to seek God's will for you and your family? Will you choose Satan and his worldly will for you and your family? Or will you choose to lead out of selfless, loving sacrifice that Christ showed us? Or will you choose to be selfish, worldly, and absent, leaving your families to their own, on their own, to fend off Satan and the world? I ask that we men ask ourselves these questions with loving intention, that we search out our innermost place and answer these questions, and that we pray for courage and strength to stand where we know God wants us to stand. Daddies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. Little by little, we sometimes make exceptions. and we begin that process of crumbling. We need to be strong and courageous as husbands and fathers, standing on God's word, not wavering to the left or to the right, so that we will stand for our families and they won't crumble. So today, to close up, I want to ask all the fathers and husbands up to the altar for prayer. And we're going to have prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we stand here today as your servants, as your chosen men. We humbly seek your wisdom and guidance to be committed followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you show us how to be strong and courageous for our families, how to really stand on your word, not straying left or right, not sacrificing for the ways of the world, not falling into worldly traps. Father, show us how to love, how to be graceful, how to be forgiving. Show us how to disciple our children in a world that hates discipline. We ask for your wisdom, Father. We seek your will for ourselves and for our families, and that it be done. We thank you, Father, for the example of love given to us through your Son, Jesus. May we meditate on that example and examine ourselves and our resolve to show that same love for our families. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.